Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Somebody said Samuel L. Jackson would play Bill O'Brien in a Texans movie.
That's perfect.
Quote, you suck too, mother effort.
That's perfect. And it would be a movie that doesn't see color because we have a black man playing Bill O'Brien. Right? I mean, you know, we have gotten to a point where it does feel like you're seeing certain television shows and you're wondering, okay, wait a second. This is supposed to take place in Russia in the 1700s. Why is the entire cast not looking like they're from Russia?
Right.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It just seems to be current with the trend of Hollywood these days. Samuel L. Jackson as Bill O'Brien would be so amazing. Yes.
That's
yes.
Great audio.
Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Noah, behind the glass. I mean, imagine Bill O'Brien saying, like, yeah, I'm glad he did, and I hope he burns in hell. Like, I need this to happen. That's much better. And I thought Tom Cruise's Easterbee would be good. But, yeah, this is declarative.
Samuel L. Jackson plays Bill O'Brien.
Samuel L. Jackson as Bill
O'Brien. Changing it up.
Tom Cruise as Jack Easterbee.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I can't get over who suggested that. That is such an awesome suggestion.
Watch us on Twitch. You can also stream us on the ESPN radio, ESPN app under the radio section. All right. Deshaun Watson met with the Saints and Panthers on Monday. He met with the Browns yesterday, and he meets with the Falcons today. According to a lot of different people, including Diana Russini, that are in the know, Deshaun is actually the one that reached out to the Falcons. Makes sense. It's his hometown team. But those seem to be the four teams that are really all in on getting Deshaun Watson. And they had to present, per Diana Russini and Aaron Wilson, they had to actually present their package to the Texans.
Whoa.
Before they... Yeah, okay. they had to present their trade package to the Texans before they could even meet with Deshaun, which I like. Because that's Nick Caserio. If you're a Texans fan, you need to like that. That's Nick Caserio saying, you're not even going to meet with him unless we like what you're giving us.
I want to see these packages, though. Not like that. I want to see these packages to 100% believe that they're good ones. Because this is one of those situations where, okay, you would assume that Nick Caserio is not even going to bother if he doesn't like any of them. Right? Or this maybe is as simple as Deshaun Watson gave a list, and now the list is out. We will see, I suppose, what teams have actually been able to, first off, be teams that Watson would want to go to and present something. I am really curious as to what they're actually offering, how many players could be potentially involved, and where some of the quarterbacks on these teams would go as well. I mean, Baker Mayfield's on the Browns, and Matt Ryan and his ridiculous contract, that's on the Falcons, which sucks because the Falcons are by far the best team to make a trade with. They just don't have the physical cap space as things currently stand.
I would want, if I'm a Texans fan, I want nothing to do with Matt Ryan.
Nothing.
And nothing to do with his salary. Nothing to do with anything. But that's home for Deshaun Watson. He was a ball boy for the Falcons.
Yep.
Arthur Blank and his family got to know Deshaun Watson when he was a high schooler in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some major family ties there. And, you know, Deshaun's close with his mom. I think she's still in that general area. The other kind of home angle is, of course, the Panthers, since he played at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints and the Browns are a little bit different. I mean, the Saints, it's like this is not your mama's Saints. Like, Sean Payton's not there.
Yep.
A lot of those weapons that you associate with the Saints and that culture are completely gone. And then
mm-hmm.
the Browns, to me, it's just like the weather makes that just a complete no-go.
It's Cleveland. It's the factory of sadness. Sure, they have Kevin Stefanski. All the nerds online love him as a head coach.
He's hot.
You think he's hot?
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski is the hottest coach in the NFL.
Hottest coach in the NFL. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I kind of want to go on a side tangent with this, but let's pause for a second. Let's stay on topic for a second. We might have to go back to this at the end of the segment. So I just look at Stefanski, and I just can't believe that even with this backup quarterback that's as highly paid as Case Keenum was. This is not me standing for Case Keenum or pandering to the University of Houston fans that are out at our listening audience. I'm just saying you had a very expensive backup quarterback and you did not bench Baker Mayfield for him. What are you doing? Are you blind? Like, clearly Baker Mayfield was injured last year, regardless of whether or not he can ever live up to being the number one overall pick. So that one I wonder about. And it definitely makes me think, if I'm Deshaun Watson, a little bit twice too about playing for Stefanski. You look great one year. Well, what happened the next? Arthur Smith, meanwhile, I mean, he made Ryan Tannehill look good. Ryan Tannehill, and he's in Atlanta. I feel like with Arthur Smith, and this is at least what I'm telling Deshaun Watson if I'm Nick Caserum, like, you see what Arthur Smith did with Ryan Tannehill? What's he going to do with you?
And you wonder what the pitch is going to be for every team beyond just, you know, hey, here's the pitch to Nick Caserio. What's your pitch to Deshaun Watson if you're the Browns? I think sometimes we overthink the whole weather thing, but the weather thing in Cleveland is real. And the weather was catastrophic. I think it was 2020. The Texans played in Cleveland. I covered that game, and there was a like 20-minute delay because of wind and rain.
Yeah.
And Deshaun didn't play well. And it was like at no fault of his own.
Russell Wilson always struggled in bad weather.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson had massive mitts. Every game that I went to, and look, Seattle's not the best weather during the fall. Fantastic in the summer, awful in the fall. I watched firsthand Wilson have some awful games over the last couple of seasons. I think that's why Watson probably looked at Seattle and supposedly has said, yeah, he doesn't want to play in the Pacific Northwest. But I also think it's the same situation with Cleveland, too. You're not just playing, too, in Cleveland. A lot of these, say the AFC North, I mean, the AFC North, you have half the teams playing indoors. You have Minnesota, and you have the Lions. The AFC North, it's all outside. You know, it's Cleveland, it's Cincinnati.
That's a great point.
It's Pittsburgh, and it's Baltimore. I guess Baltimore is what, like, the most arid climate of all of those places, because it's the closest to the old Dixie line. It's the Mason.
After the Colts moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis, my dad has a friend named Tony who's huge, like very tall, really good high school basketball player in Indiana.
It's me, Tony. Sorry.
And Tony and my dad were in Baltimore for a business thing, and they go to an Orioles game, mm-hmm. and people in Baltimore were still like so salty. And my dad's friend Tony, who doesn't have a lot of couth, love him, but he goes, man, I see why the Colts left this place. It's a dump. And these old ladies almost whacked him. And my dad had to, like, simmer the situation
down.
Tony
sounds like an a-hole. I'm sorry.
No, Tony's a great guy, but you have to know what you're getting with Tony. And Tony was in a motorcycle accident within the last couple of years and has a head injury.
Oh, no.
And so he blames his head injury.
It was karma for that
no,
moment.
Not karma, but he blames his head injury on things he says that he has no filter.
Oh,
but
you know what? Okay.
He's never had a filter.
Well, I actually, now, you know what? I've done a 180 on Tony, and who hasn't gone to a city and said that about the city that they went into? You know, my dad, this is the reason that I don't like Indianapolis that much. My dad went on a business trip there once, and he came back and he told me it's the worst place he's ever been to in his life. And I don't know why he felt that way.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that it's as bad. Like, I mean, obviously there's, you know, the Middle East amongst other places that are a lot worse. But listen, Tony would not do well in Houston because the whole Oilers leaving for Nashville thing, like that's what the Colts are. The Colts were stolen from a place where they had like 40 years of history, to the point where Johnny Unitas didn't want to even be a part of the Indianapolis
in the middle
Colts.
Of the night on a Mayflower moving truck.
Whenever I see a Mayflower truck, I think of the Colts.
I know,
and
we
I
all
actually,
do.
I saw a couple last week actually, and I was like, those bastards.
It's always going to be associated with that. all right, so the Texans, of course, want 3 first round draft picks and additional draft capital and or players in a trade. It seems the reports are that all of these teams are willing to give that up. And I think that was probably the bare minimum for the Texans even agreeing to meet with them and to discuss. Meanwhile, Josina Anderson reports that players are, you know, a lot of free agents are quote-unquote low-key waiting to see where Deshaun Watson goes to make their choice. sometimes these things are overdrawn, but I actually believe this because I think where the league is at now, and if you have guys that they're not as worried about getting a bag of money as much as they are going to a winning team, mm-hmm. you know you're going to win with Deshaun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make the counter argument though. Hey, they were 4-12 with Watson playing the best year of his career just a couple of seasons ago. Maybe you tell yourself that. I don't know. But I am of the belief, that same belief right there, that wherever he goes, that's going to be one of the best 10, 12 teams in the NFL. They're going to be in the playoffs. It's just a matter of how good are they going to be in said playoffs. But I do think you got to remember that they did go 4-12 with this fantastic quarterback back in 2020.
Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson did have two depositions regarding the civil cases. And those civil cases, the women in those, are being handled by Tony Busby. Tony Busby told TheAthletic.com, quote, no NFL teams have contacted him or his clients to discuss Watson. That those teams are instead speaking directly to Watson or his lawyer, Rusty Hardin. And then Busby also said that the rush to trade for Watson, quote, demonstrates a complete lack of understanding of the civil process. So Busby not happy, and I get this. I think it's been an odd process. I think most of us thought the NFL investigation would have started by now, but this is where we're at.
Not a lawyer. Very curious as to the civil process and that what details are going to be made public, because I assume that during a civil settlement of sorts that there will be things that are supposed to be kept in court and never revealed to the public. I would assume. And obviously we have those reports that came out already, and I think that's the closest thing that we might get to further damning details about Watson and the alleged things that he did. And we do have to say, I guess, allegedly. But
right.
I definitely feel the same way as Busby from the perspective of, yeah, we've all just moved on. You know, go back and read about some of those allegations. And it is part of the way that the NFL works, and the people that cover the NFL talk about it. It's very easy to move on from things very quickly. But, you know, I'm curious, very curious about this.
Somebody sent me a list of the NFL's hottest coaches, and it's they did not nail this. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to dive more into all things Deshaun Watson. Plus, ESPN makes the Buck and Aikman marriage official. That's next.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We're casting a movie with the Texans. Here are some of the suggestions that we've gotten on who would play who in these movies. Kevin James as Bill O'Brien is not bad. Kevin James is who started the discussion to begin with because he played Sean Payton. Sam Rockwell as Easterby. Jesse Eisenberg as Casario. Maybe a little too nerdy. John Goodman as Cal McNair is not terrible.
Yeah, but John Goodman carries himself with power, and Cal McNair does not seem to have any.
Michael B. Jordan, I agree. Deshaun Watson, Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, some of these are interesting.
The Samuel L. Jackson as Bill O'Brien. I'm sorry, that is the funniest thing I've.
You sucked.
I can't get over that. That is just so funny.
A lot of passion there. All right, so ESPN just made it official. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, will be together in the booth for Monday Night Football. It marks their 21st NFL season together. That matches the legendary Pat Summerall and John Madden's all-time record as on-air NFL partners. Lisa Salters will stay on the sideline, which is a good move. She's really, really good. No mention of Joe Buck doing any baseball, and I know ESPN's not known for baseball.
They do have it.
They do have it, but it was interesting to me what it does mention. The press release does mention, as part of the agreement, Buck and Aikman will both contribute to content on ESPN Plus, with more details to be announced at a later date. I love this because ESPN Plus is where they put all the millennial stuff.
That's true.
So seeing Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do some like wacky segment on, you know, something on ESPN Plus would be hilarious to me because they're both just not like that.
You've had those Manning shows on ESPN Plus. I mean, look, if you bring them in, and specifically if you bring Joe Buck in, for the love of God, please, please give me this. Please put Joe Buck on Sunday Night Baseball. Please. Make Sunday Night Baseball actually seem like it matters. Because I'm sorry, the cast of characters that they throw out for that, it's not good. It's just not. Just like Monday Night Football hasn't been good, in my opinion, over the last couple of years. No offense. I like Steve Levy as an actual play-by-play guy, but you want to have somebody who's got the gravitas. And Monday Night Football used to always have that. And when Mike Tirico left and when John Gruden left, it stopped having that. I also love Sean McDonough, but clearly there wasn't a rapport that he had with John Gruden. And then when Gruden leaves, then they decided to do the weird...
Boogermobile?
Well, yeah, the Boogermobile, Jason Witten saying nothing, Joe Tessitore, like, losing his mind over random, obscure special teams moments. Look at that long snap! Incredible! One of the most incredible displays of long snapping we've seen in NFL history! And then Jason Witten would just be like, I don't have any hair. Wait, I have hair now. Didn't go exactly like that. I suppose this brings back some gravitas to Monday Night Football, but I don't think that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to be thrilled with the games that they're getting. I don't think all of a sudden that ESPN is going to get a better slate of games for Monday Night Football. It's really difficult to predict in advance whether or not Monday Night Football games at the beginning of the year are actually going to end up being the good games that before the season they look like they will be.
Yeah, Troy Aikman had said on The Ticket in Dallas that Fox actually never came to him with a counteroffer.
Wow.
Yeah, he said that on The Ticket
in Dallas.
So they
wanted to replace him with somebody already. I'm guessing it's Greg Olson.
I think they just weren't, you know, willing to pay. And, you know, Troy Aikman leaving did not surprise me, but Joe Buck leaving his contract a year early and giving up the World Series is just shocking to me.
Same to me. And maybe Joe Buck doesn't like baseball the way that he used to. Maybe there's something going on with Sunday Night Baseball or something like that, but... I mean, he's been a part of baseball. He's the most iconic voice in baseball, whether you love him or hate him. He has been for the last 30 years. And I also think that people that hate Joe Buck because they think it's cool to hate on Joe Buck. Just like
it's
people...
the same with Nickelback.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So, okay, so you actually are on the same page as me with
this. Yeah, I like Nickelback.
Nickelback is
and
not bad.
You know what? Everybody did.
Right.
Now, were their songs overplayed? Yes.
No doubt.
But... yeah, people like saying that it's cool to hate that's obnoxious.
This is how you remind me of who I really am.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot some of the lyrics for a second. Well, I mean, they kind of sound like they are, but yeah, I mean, they're not Canadian legends for no reason. And to act like they are just a bad band, it bothered me. I always felt people did it because they wanted to be cool. Oh, yeah, we're all hipsters. The great, massive population of the United States, 50% plus of it, hates Nickelback, and we're all so cool because we have this completely original thought. Anyway. You're welcome for that tangent.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting a lot of John C. Reilly as Kyle McNair, by the way. That's the one that keeps popping up. It's official, yeah. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Monday Night Football. Who will call the World Series? I'm obviously on Team Kevin Burkhardt to get that number one slot, but the World Series thing is a huge question. I don't think there's like somebody that's directly right in line to get it.
No, clearly not. I mean, I don't know who would. And maybe it's somebody from Turner, from their playoff productions. I do like Don Orsillo a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know that Don Orsillo is exactly thrilled doing San Diego Padres games, but I also know that Don Orsillo isn't Joe Buck, and you got to have a little clout if you're going to be put into it. Is Bob Costas all of a sudden going to come back and do games? You know, I'm a Syracuse guy, not the biggest Bob Costas guy. I always feel like I'm being lectured to about how I'm wrong, and I don't like that kind of thing. I did like this possible topic that we almost dove into a little bit earlier that we paused for a moment.
Oh, what was that?
Well, we were talking about Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and this happened. Sure, they have Kevin Stefanski. All the nerds online love him as a head coach.
He's hot.
You think he's hot?
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski is the hottest coach in the NFL.
Hottest coach in the NFL? Wow. Yeah. So he's the hottest coach in the NFL.
You have to know what I like. Like, Kevin Stefanski...
You've told me, though, you like big guys. You like Jason Momoa, right? Does Kevin Stefanski remind you of Jason Momoa?
He's not big.
Noah behind the glass has a thought.
Yeah, speaking of big guys, Kevin Stefanski's 5'9". So I don't want to hear any of that.
Wait, I'm not allowed to like a variety of men?
You always dig on Paul because he's 5'11".
I have never dug on Paul. Paul digs on himself.
She bullies me.
Paul says that I could never like him because he's shorter.
Noah, she's bullying me right now.
Yeah.
Look at this.
No, Kevin Stefanski
is surprised. He's only 5'9".
He's like rugged, looks like he could enjoy a plate of wings. He's not like a pretty boy. But and that's what I like. Mike Vrabel is very attractive too.
Okay. Mike Vrabel too.
Mike Vrabel is probably more along the body lines of what I like.
Gotcha.
This is
okay.
All, by the way, I don't date coaches. So this is all.
You don't date coaches.
No,
okay. Good to know.
Need to establish that. But yeah, like Matt LaFleur is very pretty. And Sean McVay is very pretty.
I get exactly what you're saying. Like, Noah's making a face behind the glass.
Cliff Kingsbury is pretty.
Right.
I don't like pretty.
I'm on the pretty side. Like, I'll admit that.
Okay.
I mean, no, I know.
You are.
Between rugged and pretty, if we're talking about a spectrum from rugged to pretty, I am closer to pretty than I am to rugged. Sadly. Even though I can grow amazing facial hair and
it's
have swarthy eyebrows.
Most women are on the pretty
side. I don't know. I think more women will like the rugged side.
Our guy Cody Stutes from the Wheelhouse that you can hear from 3 to 7 chiming in on our question, by the way.
Casting of the Texans movie, great Texans movie.
Jared Leto, Nick, John Krasinski, Bill, Ben Affleck, need the Boston. Cal, Nick Offerman would be hilarious. Watson, Tristan Wilds.
Okay.
Hate it.
You could legitimately, based off of what the responses were getting, I could see anyone playing Cal. I really could. And it would go in a variety of different ways. A lot of people, as you said, were saying John C. Reilly as it. The difference would be seeing John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss and the energy that he is showing on that Lakers show on HBO Max. That, to me, I feel like, because I'm seeing him so charismatic, Cal McNair is the exact opposite of that. Jared Leto as Jack Easterby. Leto does pull off hateable. I'm not even sure if he does it intentionally in a lot of the movies that he's in.
He does pull it off.
I hated him as the Joker, but mainly because I just like, hey, we've had a lot of good Jokers.
He was in House of Gucci, and
that was the movie with Lady Gaga, right?
Played, and it was unbearable. It was his worst performance.
I don't know what good performances he's had. Apparently, he was just a pain in the ass, too, on the set of the Suicide Squad playing Joker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was, like, doing practical jokes on people to try to get into the character of being the Joker, and everyone was like, can you leave us alone?
Yeah, that's actually not the Joker's, like, main thing, either.
No, the Joker's basically your exact wild card. Just does random stuff because he's bored and wants chaos.
You're listening to Vanessa N. Gallant. This is ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can, of course, watch us on Twitch if you'd like, and you can stream us on the ESPN app. New voices for Monday Night Football. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Mike Golic Jr. writes, excited to watch Joe Buck trend on Monday now instead of Sunday. Yeah. It's a weekly thing.
Why did people think that he was out to get the Astros during the World Series back in the day?
It's definitely like a victim-type complex. And I do think that sometimes the way... I will say this. Sometimes Joe Buck's tone of voice... And I think when you add on, people see him as Silver Spoon. He got the job because of his dad, Jack Buck, whatever. I do think that sometimes the tone of his voice seems condescending. But here's the major caveat. And he does it and mentions that with every team.
I agree. I mean, he has sounded a little bit elitist. A disgusting act when Randy Moss mooned the entire crowd at Lambeau Field. Which, if you heard from Randy Moss, that was... him retaliating for what fans had done to him on his way into the stadium while in a bus. And I'm sure it was just a couple. It wasn't everybody at Lambeau Field. But in this situation, man, I look at him, Joe Buck, and I hear the same monotone for everybody. Just a booming monotone. And I find it funny that some people really get the vibe that he is out against their team. Is it because over the entirety of a season, you're watching your home team baseball broadcast or something like that?
I think that's actually a really astute point because they're used to, and I do think Jeff Blum and Todd Callis and Julia do a good job of being as unbiased as they can be, but you are, you know, they work for AT&T, that is, you know, they work for the Astros.
But I've never seen basketball, I always get the vibe that no matter who's on the call,
that they're biased.
That the world is out to get the team that you're watching every single night. Where with baseball, I've never gotten that vibe with any local baseball broadcast that I've watched. I've always gotten the sense of like, okay, like they're here, they're professional. But basketball, I can't even watch half of basketball broadcasts. Everyone is just so over the top biased.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a dramatic goodbye from a quarterback who potentially could be in Houston. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I think we probably all understand why Baker Mayfield feels the way that he feels. A little salty because he knows that Jimmy Haslam is meeting with Deshaun Watson, right, that they're essentially looking to get him out of town. He wrote a really long, like too long to even read on the air note last night, but essentially it was a letter to Cleveland. It starts out, the past 4 years have been nothing short of truly life-changing since I heard my name called in the draft to go to Cleveland. This is not a message with a hidden meaning. This is strictly to thank the city of Cleveland for embracing my family and me. It goes on, blah, 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 blah. And ends with, Cleveland will always be a part of me and my wife's story. Sincerely, Baker Reagan Mayfield. Why he included his middle name, couldn't tell you. Just added a little bit of drama to that. But
the way you describe it, it doesn't seem like you're a fan of the move. Do you feel...
Of him tweeting that?
Yeah.
I think it was a little attention-seeking. But at the same time, to be fair, and I know that being an NFL quarterback is not the same as most of our jobs, but if you realize that your boss is actively seeking people out to replace you, it's probably not a great feeling.
No, so while, it is not.
And you... Hello, Seattle.
What a time that was. Yeah, I mean, what's funny is, I mean, you never get to announce your exit, but I did. And I was in trouble for that for a little bit of time. I didn't do it in like a mean way or anything like that. But there are times where you want to be in control of the way that this gets out because you have no control over anything else.
It's a really good point. And that's part of the athlete empowerment. Every athlete having their own social media, their own PR team, where he can control this message, at least from the standpoint of, hey, it's not that I don't want to be here, but I know that my future is uncertain.
I know that a lot of people don't like Baker Mayfield locally. I think part of it has to do with the fact that he went to Oklahoma. But I've always liked him, and I feel bad for him here. Even though I realize that he isn't that good of a quarterback, it's an awkward situation that he's being put into. I feel less bad for Matt Ryan. Baker hasn't gotten that massive contract that I think he thought he was going to get going into last year. And part of that is his fault. He played poorly, but he also got hurt. He tried to play through it. He tried to tough it out. I respect a quarterback who, at the very least, is going to continue to get up and play every single Sunday. Where I think there have been times in the past where you could argue, in the case of Jimmy Garoppolo, that he misses a lot of games. A lot of games, considering he's a quarterback. And lots of quarterbacks, no matter how you feel about them, or no matter how annoying they are to remind you of how injured they are, Ben Roethlisberger, he goes out there every single Sunday. I respect a quarterback who actually can deliver, show up to work every single week, because some of them won't. Deshaun Watson.
Well, and look, the narrative with Baker kind of became that he was more interested in ads and commercials and that kind of revenue than actually healing and playing. I don't know that was completely fair. But I think this is an indication that he knows things are coming to an end. And he probably knows, the GM Andrew Berry probably has had conversations with Baker Mayfield's agent that said, hey, you guys can get the ball rolling, try to start sniffing out places, you know. But that's part of the game. And to me, I do commend him for taking control of the narrative. I think the adding his middle name in was a little dramatic. And
Reagan.
Reagan. But I do commend anybody that sees a situation and sees that they're about to be treated a certain way and gets in front of it. Wow, that was a good relationship analogy.
I liked it.
When you see you're about to be treated a certain way and you sense the pattern, you get in front of it.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
Do it with your situation.
Yeah.
Right? Get in front of it.
You know what? It's over.
Maybe Baker Reagan Mayfield likes people to know that his middle name is after a president. Right, I'm assuming.
Just very dramatic. I doubt
that his parents voted for Jimmy Carter. That's just a wild guess. I think they're big Reagan guys.
I'm from the Midwest, so I will.
Hey, I got no hate for Reagan. That's the Gipper.
That
win
is the
one for the Gipper.
Meanwhile, the Bills, who are owned by Terry Pegula, he has a net worth of about $6 billion.
He's a fracker.
They're working on a new stadium, and it would surpass the Colts stadium as the most subsidized by taxpayers.
Any owner that does this deserves to lose their team. I think it's just the most pathetic BS ever. I get it.
Maybe you mean making the players pay, or the taxpayers pay
for
it?
Yes, it's insane. And it's something I'm wondering about here. Those stadiums are getting old, at least compared to Arlington, which just built itself a new baseball stadium for the Rangers. Atlanta, which built itself a new baseball stadium for the Braves. We're getting to that point where all of these stadiums that were built and launched in 2002 are now 20 years old. The Juice Box, how old is that? Was it 1999? Like a couple of years older?
Yeah.
When it was Enron Field back in the day? I see this. The Bills Stadium is an old, decrepit piece of crap. So they needed a new one. That stadium's been around for a while. But when you are forcing the state to pay for it, and you definitely have the means to do it, I just think you are such a loser.
Well, and the threat is that they'll move. You know
right.
what I mean? The threat is that, okay, well, then we're out, and we'll go somewhere that will. So it's business. It's negotiating tactics. But to your point, when he has $6 billion.
It's terrible. Okay, and you moved to Austin, too. That was the place that was suggested. Are you going to necessarily make more money in Austin? A city that seems to be largely of transplants these days, a city that I don't know is going to immediately fall in love with the NFL, given that the Cowboys already have a huge imprint in the entirety of the
state.
That's
true.
You know?
We have so many Cowboys fans here.
Right, exactly. I hate that these states just, you know, bend the knee. And it's funny, too, just given the way that things are going in New York, where I'm actually okay with this. Did you see that in New York City, that if you are an unvaccinated Mets or Yankees player, like Kyrie Irving, you won't be able to play at home? I don't care about the Mets side of it. This is hysterical for the Yankees side of it. And I'm all here for it. You know what? There was a time where I thought it was kind of ridiculous for Kyrie Irving that he can't play where an unvaccinated player on the road can play in the same arena
right.
as him, especially seeing as Kyrie
Irving.
Yeah,
there were some inconsistencies for sure.
Irving just dropped 60, by the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's looking fine. He's not like getting absolutely pants like the Rock, like the 76ers have been over the last couple of been over the last week. But I'm all here for it. You know what? If all of a sudden Aaron Judge, who's apparently dodging questions about whether or not he is vaccinated, is now going to be the center of a media controversy the same way that the Astros were, I love this. This is great. I want to see a bunch of Yankees sitting their ass on the pine because they didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah,
I want it.
It would help the Astros, that's for sure.
That's all I care about. It's just from their perspective.
Can I take you back to 2019 when Duke Johnson, somebody very familiar to Texans fans, asked for a trade from Cleveland? Again, this is 2019. Baker Mayfield was not happy and said, quote, "You're either on this train or you're not." So last night, Duke Johnson, 3 years later, tweets a GIF of a train on fire. This is hashtag Team Petty, and I love it.
I mean, look, though, don't you have to be in the league to do this? I'm turning into such a Baker Mayfield stan. I know the Twitch comment section is lighting me up for it. Like, Baker's trash. He sucks, bro. You're stupid. But I don't know. I kind of want to stand up for Baker Mayfield here. Because, I mean, Duke Johnson got his way out of town. But, like, what did he do when he got his way out of town? And Baker Mayfield, I mean, should he be held accountable for changing his mind about things 3 years later when he is now a more mature human being, a more mature adult?
Online says that Duke is with the Dolphins.
He's on the Dolphins, okay.
That's what Wikipedia and all the places say.
Allegedly on the Miami Dolphins.
Allegedly. Dolphins wire, yeah. Miami Dolphins running back Duke Johnson is preparing to hit the free agent market on Wednesday at the start of the new league year, but that hasn't stopped him from staying up on all the news around the league. This is according to Dolphins Wire. So, yeah, he'll be a free agent.
Okay. So, he is still technically in the league then. Okay.
Hopefully, he and Baker end up on the same team.
That would be pretty
fun. That'd
be
fun.
It would be fun if they were to pair up again.
We're continuing to take answers from who would star in Texans movies. Who would play Jack Easterby? Who would play Kyle McNair? Who would play Bill O'Brien? Who would play Deshaun Watson? And who would play Nick Caserio? We've gotten some really great answers on who would do what. Like, I've seen Chris Farley for Cal McNair a couple times if he was still alive.
Farley's my guy. You need someone who is laughable and goofy to play Cal, because he's going to be the comedic relief in a movie that is going to have a lot of dark moments, like when Samuel L. Jackson as Bill O'Brien is lighting everybody up.
You suck too, mother effer.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. Or when you see Tom Cruise as Jack Easterby. Somehow,
yeah, I don't like that one.
Why not?
It's not right.
Why isn't it right?
Because he's too short. He just doesn't, and he needs to be bald.
Height doesn't matter in movies.
Yes, it does.
Tom Cruise is like the biggest star in America, and he's 5'4". Like,
I keep seeing Jesse Smollett as Deshaun Watson.
Well, yeah, I mean, duh. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who
James
is going to want to take on this
Jack?
Role.
Yeah, Seth Rogen is Bill O'Brien.
Seth Rogen is Bill. I would be able to believe it. Because he would be too mirthy.
Somebody tweeted us a picture of bald Steve Carell.
That looks like Jack East to me. I actually got on a binge watch of The Office last night while I was at my aunt and uncle's house and watching like old school The Office. And I was like, damn, I forgot. I still feel the need to get up and change the channel when I watch this show because Carell made me so uncomfortable watching
it. Oh, it's a great show.
So if you're looking for someone to make you uncomfortable, Carell would be fantastic as Jack East to be.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a Wednesday. Coming up.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Of all the things for our politicians to work on, the Senate unanimously passed a bill to make daylight savings permanent. Starting November 2023, The bill heads to the House. If successful, it would end biannual clock changes and lead to more afternoon light in winter months.
So you don't have to deal with this as much down here as you might
right.
if you're growing up in Boston or if you're living in Seattle. But those people deserve sunlight.
Yeah.
Because they're miserable.
I was going to say, you don't realize how much the sun impacts your mood until all of a sudden it's sunny for the first time in a long time and you feel like you can do anything.
100%. I mean, look, I know that when I was in Seattle, it took me a while for me to discover grunge music, but I get grunge music now. Something's in the way. It's raining outside. It's sad and
Pearl Jam's from Seattle, right?
Yeah, they are.
Pearl Jam?
Yeah, Pearl Jam's from Seattle. Nirvana's from Seattle. Soundgarden was from Seattle. Like, all these bands that were from the grunge movement are generally from that area, and it's because they didn't get sunlight for half a year, and they turned into vampire folks who may or may not have partaken in some other things on the side because life sucks. That was their deal. That is grunge in a nutshell. So this is great, and I was annoyed that this weekend, Vanessa, I lost an hour of my weekend. Just randomly.
Yeah.
You know, it was always nice to get an extra hour of sleep in October, but to lose it arbitrarily from Saturday into Sunday, 1 hour of sleep or 1 hour of going out? No, I don't like that.
Adam Schefter, you're not happy with the fact that he broke the Tom Brady announcement.
Yes, he should perhaps be unverified on Twitter for that.
For breaking news?
Well, it wasn't news because it didn't actually happen, did it?
What are you talking about?
You know when Tom Brady supposedly retired and he made the retirement announcement?
Yeah.
But Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington and all these other people basically didn't allow him to retire on his own terms?
I loved it. That's what they're supposed to do as reporters,
No, they're
right?
not. He's supposed to announce his retirement on his own.
No.
Oh, I'm going to spoil this person announcing.
Shout out to Jeff Darlington.
Okay, so Vanessa, say one of your friends, your girlfriends, she's pregnant. She's about to have a kid. You spoil the announcement for her having the kid. It's the exact same thing.
Retiring. Not the same thing
it
as being pregnant.
Same thing.
Not the same thing as having a child.
What's more important, being pregnant or being the greatest NFL player in NFL history? It is obviously the latter.
Being pregnant.
No.
Cry me a river. Oh, my God.
Tom Brady
didn't get to announce
Tom Brady matters more than this theoretical child. Either way, this theoretical child, you spoiling the announcement of somebody's engagement or spoiling an announcement of somebody having a baby or something like that, that to me is akin to spoiling somebody being able to announce on his own that he's retiring. Why couldn't they have just waited 2 days?
Why do
they need to be first on that? What's the benefit?
Shout out Jeff Darlington. Shout out Adam Schefter
for
breaking that story as they should have as reporters.
Shout out to Jack Dorsey. Deplatform them, please. Thank you. Deplatform them. I mean, that's misinformation. That was misinformation. They should go to jail.
Meanwhile, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck officially join ESPN. It was just announced via ESPN PR. They'll, of course, be doing Monday Night Football. This makes them the longest tenured in the booth, 21 years. Lisa Salters will remain on the sideline, but it'll be, of course, Joe Buck play-by-play, Troy Aikman color commentary, Lisa Salters on the sideline, and yeah, I mean, here we go. Different.
Yeah, it's change is weird for a lot of people. It's something that is, I think, going to be very difficult to accept in baseball. I don't want to see somebody other than Joe Buck calling the big baseball
Interestingly enough, ESPN does not mention Joe Buck doing any baseball.
Which is dumb, because aren't they trying to make it so that people actually watch their baseball product? I mean, Sunday Night Baseball, what a snooze. Who watches Sunday Night Baseball? Really? On a regular basis, if the Astros aren't playing, are you watching Sunday Night Baseball? And honestly, over the past couple of years, I think if the Astros ended up on a national broadcast, you were probably annoyed. You know, like those YouTube TV broadcasts that they did a couple of times.
Yeah.
I remember everyone in Seattle was pissed that they had the YouTube TV broadcast because Brian Kenny was just talking about how he read a book about Moby Dick and New England whaling from the 1800s. I swear, it was like one of my tangents.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I get it. Like, I need to be reeled in often. But Brian Kenny, like, no one was reeling him in. And there were a couple of other people that were along for the ride. So I'm not thrilled about what's going to be next on that front. And I don't think Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to be thrilled with the quality of games that they get either.
I think that it's something that seems great from the get-go because of the amount of money they're given. You know, and look, Joe Buck has two daughters in their 20s, but he has two sons that are toddlers. So maybe he gets to spend more time at home. Maybe that's a priority. But Troy Aikman actually had said on the ticket in Dallas that Fox didn't come back to him with an offer.
That is surprising.
A counter offer.
That is really surprising.
Shocking.
Because
he said they only heard from them once he signed the deal and they congratulated him.
He's very good at it. I know that there are some color commentators that we don't like, but I feel like Troy Aikman is very good. He's understated and he's actually willing to be critical, which, I mean, you will hear him be disgusted. Aikman allows...
At the Cowboys. He's not biased.
Anyone. I love that he allows himself to be disgusted. I prefer Troy Aikman to Tony Romo. I
actually agree with you on that.
I don't think it's close. Like Romo's fun from time to time. I'm not saying he's...
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.